Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
It's brand new Season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, executive producer Jonathan Strickland, and I love all things tech. And today it is time for another classic episode of Tech Stuff. Today we're going to look at RC toys, radio-controlled toys. How do they work? What is their history? Chris Paulette and I had a lot of fun talking about this. We both are big kids at heart, so it was a lot of fun to look into this topic. It originally published on January 4th, 2012. I hope you enjoy.
We're going to talk about something that several listeners have requested over the past, probably 2 years or so. But we've had a lot of people ask about radio-controlled toys. Yes. I think RC helicopters is the one that we tend to get the most requests for, but we've also had for RC cars and just radio-controlled vehicles in general. And they all work, at least on the radio side, with the same basic premise. So we're going to cover that, and then maybe we'll get into some specifics.
Yes, and oddly enough, I have a little history, and boy, do I mean history.
Oh, sweet.
Because this goes back to 1898, and one of our old friends who messed around with radio in its very, very early days, and who had, believe it or not, actually, you probably believe it if you know who we're talking about, a patent for it. So there was an electrical exhibition in Madison Square Garden, and a guy named Nikola Tesla
faced off against Marconi in a no-hold-bar, 2 out of 3 falls match.
I'm familiar. Not this time.
Madison Square Gardens has a special place in my heart as a wrestling fan. That's just, go ahead.
This was a, let me see. Hold on. Oh, yes. I wanted to make sure I was right. It was a radio-controlled boat. Basically a steel boat about 4 feet long or so. And he brought out this radio-controlled boat, and people thought he was controlling it with his mind powers. because, you know, radio was still pretty new at that point.
Well, you got to remember, if a technology is sophisticated enough, it would be indistinguishable from magic.
Yes. However, Tesla had his boat powered by several batteries on board.
Also, there were like eight guys underneath the water just pushing it along, holding their breath.
This is Tesla we're talking about. You know, he had access to future technology.
Eight robots underwater holding their breath.
That's more like it. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't, in a way, it was not terribly different from our current RC technology.
I
mean,
current. I see what you did there.
So there were switches that were powering the propeller, the rudder, and running lights.
Oh, so he could even make the lights go on and off.
Yeah, and he even had a coherer, which is a switch that was activated by radio, had it set up so that he could power or control it by radio. And people were freaked out by it because, again, it was magic-like to a lot of the people.
Sure.
Yes, he has a U.S. patent number 613809 for a wireless remote control.
So that's 613,809.
Yeah, yeah. Now, a reporter from the New York Times was covering this, and he said, hey, you know what? You could make this this boat go underwater and carry explosives. And Tesla basically said, no. This is not a torpedo. It's a robot.
I made this robot to help humanity, not destroy it.
Yeah.
That's for the Mitchell and Webb fans in the audience.
Yeah. But, yeah, basically they suggested, oh, you could use this for a torpedo. And he said, no, this could be used to help people, not destroy
people.
Although, as it turns out, the military really wasn't interested in it. It was too much of a novelty at the time for it to be, of course, you know, now, you know, we've got unmanned aerial vehicles and all sorts of other remote controlled technology.
Unmanned water vehicles,
yes,
as well.
Yes.
Yeah, naval vehicles. Yeah.
But yeah, at the time, back in the late 19th century, they weren't interested.
Yeah, technology ahead of its time, really.
Oh, really? Tesla and technology ahead of its time.
Yeah, if he had been able to hold on to his patents and his sanity, I think the world would look a little different today.
Yeah, probably so.
We'd also probably be in fear for our lives whenever we stepped outside about being zapped by some sort of huge electronic ray thing.
Possibly. You know, anyhow,
we're broadcasting power over to New York. Stay inside.
Well, no pun intended. Yeah, I'll fax you some electricity.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a Dilbert reference. Well, pardon the pun, it sort of submerged for a while.
Yep.
For a few decades, we really didn't have a lot of remote-controlled stuff. There were people who were into the technology. I would say hobbyists, probably, more than anything else, who were into different kinds of radio-controlled technology, but it really didn't come back again as something that people were interested in until, I would say, at least according to my research, around the 1960s, mm-hmm, was when you started seeing people with remote-controlled cars and planes and gizmos for toys.
Yeah. Yeah, the basics behind this are fairly simple.
Yeah.
You hold a controller, and mm-hmm, that controller has inside it a transmitter.
Yep.
And we actually talked quite a bit about transmitters when we did our podcast about how radio works.
Yep.
But in case you don't remember, the basics behind a transmitter are, it's all based on things like magnetic fluctuations and the way that the relationship between magnetism and electricity.
That's about two-thirds of our podcast.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. It might sound really familiar to those of you who have been listening to Tech Stuff for a while, but here's a very basic transmitter. Let's say you've got a battery and you've got two different lengths of wire.
Yep.
Okay. And one length of wire you connect to either end of a some sort of voltage sensor.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a meter there that's going to register whenever voltage passes through the wire, but it's not connected to anything else, not connected to a power source.
Yeah.
And then you've got a battery and another length of wire, and you connect the length of wire to the two ends of the battery. Now, the moment that current begins to flow through that wire, that change in voltage creates a magnetic field. That magnetic field will induce electricity to flow through the second length of wire, the one that's not connected to a power source. It's only connected to the voltmeter. And the voltmeter will register that there's a change. Now, it only will have electricity flow as the magnetic field changes.
Yeah.
So you can't have a magnetic – you can't create a magnetic field and it just perpetually creates this flow of electricity. It's only whenever the magnetic field itself changes. So by connecting and disconnecting the wire from that battery, you are going to change the magnetic field, which will induce electricity to flow through that second wire. That's the idea of transmission there. It's the idea of transmitting radio waves is essentially doing the same thing. You're really, you've created a power source and a circuit, and by making the opening and closing the circuit in a regular but rapid way, you can create this, this change in magnetic fields. And then if by putting it through an antenna, you can direct it and even amplify it in such a way that you can detect it from a distance. And then depending on how you do this and depending on how you've programmed the receiver on the other end, that's where you get the response.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I were to do this with, you know, by recording music and then encoding that so that it converts the sound into electricity, the electricity then is essentially converted into this changing magnetic field. A receiver would receive this changing magnetic field, convert that into electricity, and then have another encoding device that would convert the electricity back into sound.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very high level way of looking at it. Well, we're not just limited with sound. We can transmit other kinds of information this way,
yep,
including directions, essentially, to a device. So in this case, we're talking about a controller that – let's take a very basic controller.
Okay.
Let's say you've got a controller that has a trigger and a wheel. And the trigger is essentially your
– Throttle.
Your throttle, your accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pull the trigger, it's sending a series of pulses. It's a very specific series of pulses through a very specific frequency. And if your receiver is within range of the whatever your transmitter's power is, the receiver receives this series of pulses and then interprets that as, oh, that's the accelerator button, hit the gas.
Right.
Although it's not necessarily gas. There are RC cars and other vehicles out there that use gas, but not all of them do.
Yeah. Or a liquid fuel.
Yeah. Many of them will use electricity, mm-hmm, but there are others that will rely on some form of fuel besides an electrical current. So that's the series of pulses from that accelerator is going to be different from the series of pulses than if you were to twist the wheel, to the right, which would tell the vehicle, let's say it's an RC car, to turn right. That series of pulses is going to be a different series. So that way, when the RC car receives that message, it can interpret that as saying, oh, this means turn the wheels to the right, as opposed to hit the gas.
We're going to take a quick break from our conversation about RC technology and take a moment to thank our sponsors. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's also important to note one of the things from our radio podcast, that radio can take a number of different forms. I mean, there's a broad spectrum of electromagnetic radiation, of which radio is a part, and the radio frequencies, it all depends on a number of factors, amplitude, wavelength, and frequency.
Right.
It sort of depends on the shape of the radio wave, basically, yeah. If you want to get right down to it, and how many there are. Over a certain period of time. But yeah. There are a couple frequencies that are specifically in the United States devoted to
consumer electronics. Yeah.
And this is
something that's regulated by the Federal Communications Commission in the United States, the FCC.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's the reason you might wonder why there needs to be such an entity. The reason for it is that if you had all of your different electronics and it was unregulated, there's a lot of potential for interference.
Yeah.
Because if you've ever had you've had a remote control car before, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. If you have a remote control car and your buddy has a remote control car and they're both running on the same frequency and there's no way of differentiating it, then you can't race your car against your buddy's car because every time you press up on your control, both cars start to move because they can't differentiate between two signals sent along the same frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that multiplied by an astronomical number if all devices were unregulated. I mean, you could have the argument of, well, if it's unregulated, what are the odds that the frequency you chose is going to be the same as someone else? Those odds are pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
If you look at the entire breadth of radio, everything that relies on radio transmissions, because it's not just radio, it's television, it's all these other sort of devices. So that's why you had to have some sort of body that would regulate this and say, all right, we are dedicating this part of the spectrum, of the radio frequency spectrum, to consumer electronics.
Yeah, we can. There are a number of real world non-RC examples. It's the reason why wireless hubs in your house have the ability to change channels,
yeah,
to ensure that you don't interfere with the neighbors and vice versa. There are tales of pilots being able to hear baby monitors.
Right.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Or the old wireless phones.
Yeah. Yeah, the wireless phones, too. They've changed the frequencies on which they broadcast simply to avoid all the radio transmissions in the home. Now that people have wireless networks and things, they interfere with one another.
Yeah, I remember having a wireless phone where if you turned it on, sometimes you could hear other people's conversations.
Yes.
Like not conversations that were happening in your home.
Yes.
But I don't know if I can even make a phone call. And I don't know if I want to, because if I do, then maybe someone else is hearing what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But so yeah, that's the reason for the regulation.
And I remember too, our conversation about the remote controls. They used to use sound to change a channel. And I used to, I would drop magnets on this toy that I used to play with at my grandmother's house. She had one of those early TVs with TVs with early remote control. And I could change the channel simply by the magnetic, or actually it was a sound thing. So it was the sound of the magnets falling.
Yeah, it was an ultrasonic system as opposed to infrared or radio waves.
Yeah,
I had the same thing with the Slinky.
But you happen to have that interference, and it was a sound interference, not an electromagnetic interference. But it's funny when those little things happen. And this is they're cordoned off so that people can enjoy the radio-controlled stuff and not interfere with other people and vice versa.
Right. And a lot of the RC toys out there are, at least the older ones anyway, are dedicated in either the 27 megahertz or the 49 megahertz ranges. Some of them are actually capable of doing either. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, if you have a whole bunch of friends together and you all want to race your vehicles, you can switch from one frequency to the other, so that way, you know, you avoid this interference problem. And also, you can get more specific within a frequency. So let's say that I'm, say, 27 megahertz is what my vehicle runs on. Like, it can't accept information from the 49 megahertz spectrum or frequency range. But I could possibly, this is all up to the manufacturer, but you could create a device that could accept different channels within the 27 megahertz frequency range. So 27.1, 27.2, 27.3. So you might have multiple channels that you can switch on.
Sure.
And that way, if you do have a bunch of friends and you want to race your vehicles, you can all try different channels to make sure that, you know, your signals aren't conflicting with someone else's.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, that's of course really important if you're in a competition, like, because there are plenty of actual events out there where people are building RC cars or RC whatevers and competing them against each other in various races or obstacle courses, that kind of thing. Some of them are kit based, and a lot of them now are really you spend a lot of money from a particular manufacturer and buy a racing RC vehicle, but of course skill comes into play too. So just because you have the fastest car doesn't mean you're going to be the best driver automatically.
That's true. Yeah, I mean there has to be a receiver, of course, on board the device that you're controlling.
Yes, that's the second part of this, right? You've got the transmitter in your hand, but the vehicle itself has to have a receiver.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, the receiver will be attached to a microcontroller of some type that operates the servos on board the remote controlled thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it gets more and more complex. Like for a car, you might have forward and reverse, and, you know, the wheels turning left and right.
Right.
That's pretty simple. You know, when you get into something like a remote-controlled airplane, then you've got other servos and other control surfaces.
Right.
You've got the engine or engines.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to have to maintain speed to keep the airflow going over the wing and keep the plane moving. But you've also got the rudder controls.
Yep.
You've got the control surfaces on the wing to help you go up and down.
Right.
Not necessarily left and right. And you've got to operate all of those things.
Yeah.
For a submarine, you might have the same type of thing where you have control surfaces that move the sub up or down, left or right through the water.
Right. So the stuff that servos and motors are very important in these devices.
Yes.
And this is stuff that takes electrical energy and converts it into mechanical energy.
Yes.
So the fascinating thing to me about an RC car is seeing how many different types of energy are being used.
Yes.
You know, how many, and it's relying on several different things. It's relying on, electricity, on magnetic, changes in magnetic, states. It's relying on radio frequencies. It's relying on mechanical energy. It's a great lesson in basic physics, really.
Yeah.
When you look at it that way. And when I said that, the older ones run on 27 megahertz and 49 megahertz, there are radio controlled vehicles now that are in, are work in the gigahertz range, because the gigahertz also opened up for some of the gigahertz range opened up for consumer devices. So some of the professional, I guess you could call it professional, some of the sports enthusiast ones, the RC mm-hmm. racing ones, are in the gigahertz range, not in the megahertz range.
Yeah, of course, this is yet another one of those hobbies that you can get into for a fairly reasonable cost if you have some money squirreled away, but you can also really get into things, build things yourself, more complex devices, yeah. more expensive devices. You could move, say, from a propeller plane to a ducted fan, which is what people use to sort of simulate a jet. The appearance of a jet, basically the fans inside the engine, and so it appears to be to work on a jet. Also, I think you can now buy real jet engines for these aircraft, which I imagine need quite a bit of space.
And we've even seen this sort of technology used in actual vehicles, not model vehicles.
Oh, well, I mean, the Mythbusters have done it a number of times.
Yeah, where they were trying to recreate a stunt that was too dangerous to have a human behind the wheel of a vehicle or behind the helm of a vehicle, whatever you want to call it. And so they would rig up a robot that would be remote controlled, and they would use that to manipulate the vehicle. And, there are a lot of different applications to this beyond the typical, I've got little remote controlled 4x4 and I want to drive it around the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, BattleBots, that was another type of, remote controlled vehicle that, required things. Well, I mean, that actually is sort of another illustration too, because say you have a bot that has crawler treads on it. So you have your left tread and your right tread. Plus, you might have one, two, or even more weapons on the BattleBot. Then you have to have your controller, and you'd have a couple people on some of those crews where somebody would drive the bot. So they would be in charge of making sure it got where it needed to go or got away from the other bot if their weapons were disabled. And then you had somebody operating the weapons. So that required several different frequencies. And the receivers and controllers, the transmitters and controllers to manipulate them, and the receivers and controllers on the device itself to handle all those different things. They can get quite complex. And again, costly, because, those machines cost thousands of dollars.
Right.
It can be a lot of fun, and it can be very expensive too.
Well, and I mean, I've also seen them in, it's not unusual to see it in applications like, puppetry.
Yeah.
The Henson company has used remote controlled servos for some of their more advanced puppet characters in movies like Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that they could have more articulation in the character's face, but it's operating under the same principles as the remote control car. It's just you have like a remote control goblin face, which I think is pretty awesome. And unfortunately, I don't know anywhere where you can buy it.
Chris and I have more to say about radio-controlled toys in just a second, but first, let's take another quick break to thank our sponsor. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails.
Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's really funny that, you know, that something this ubiquitous is actually fairly easy to accomplish. And of course, there are many different kinds of hobby stores. Some may be local to you, depending on where you live. Others are online and pretty easy to access. And they offer all kinds of different things. One of the big toys I saw for this past holiday season, the one we just finished up, since mm-hmm. we're recording this. Well, actually, we're recording it before this happens, but we're publishing in early 2012, were the Air Swimmers line of inflatable toys that have remote control. It makes there's a fish and a shark that can, it looks like they're swimming through the air, which is kind of an actually pretty cool effect to see.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're using the same kinds of remote controls that we've had for decades, more or less, just different frequencies maybe on the transmitter and receiver.
Yeah. And I've been kind of searching.
Oh, okay.
Since, Chris is wondering why I've been staring at my computer. I've been trying to find...
I figured
find
you were just on YouTube again. He tuned out.
That too. No, but I've been trying to find a specific toy because I owned one and I can't remember what it was called. But it was essentially a little toy battling robot.
Oh.
I think there was something like 6 different types of these battling robots. They mm-hmm. all had different colors. And it was a robot that was remote controlled mm-hmm. and you would battle it against someone else's robot, and it had things like a little infrared transmitter and an infrared receiver. So it kind of like a laser tag type thing where you could shoot at another person's robot and also could do physical attacks, like an actual knock a robot over.
I totally don't remember this toy.
And It was, in a way, a really a brilliant kind of move, although I don't know how well it did on the market. But it also had a sort of a card game element to it. You could purchase packs of cards that would give your robot different stats. So in other words, your robot would be limited at how fast it could go based upon the card that you could scan to give it a speed. And the cards were ranked, I think, 1 through 5. So if you had a speed of 3, you're right there in the middle. If you found a speed of 5, your robot could actually move at a faster pace. And it would also have armor as well. So that would let it withstand more hits before it registered an actual hit. It was a neat idea. And I got one, and my buddy Oz got one, and we maybe had one fight, and that was it. And my lovely wife has endured the fact that I have this battle robot in a closet. This little bitty thing. It's not like the ones that were in the Robot Wars or anything like that.
Right.
And all of its accessories that I went out and bought, not to mention a deck of cards where I was trying to get those weapons and those abilities that would make him better. And some of the cards were specific only to particular robot models. So
you got cards for robots you didn't know.
Exactly. So the idea being that you would trade them for someone else's cards, where they might have ones that are useful to you but not to them, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was brilliant, brilliant marketing. But it was all based on this same technology, and each robot worked on its own part of the frequency band the robots all belonged to. So that way you didn't have to worry about your controls interfering with theirs. And there are also some RC vehicles that are not really radio controlled. There's some that are infrared controlled.
Ooh.
So it's more like a remote control for a typical television set. Although some of those are now using radio frequencies in the form of Wi-Fi, so that, you know, you could have the cable unit or DVD player or Blu-ray player, whatever it is, you could have it out of view, and because it's using radio frequencies which aren't blocked, they don't need a line of sight.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be the disadvantage of using the IR for that.
Yeah, you can't. That's the thing about an IR vehicle or an IR anything is that you have to maintain a line of sight in order for it to be controllable.
Yeah.
Once it gets, like, if you were to make something that you're directing by IR go around the corner, then you'd suddenly lose contact with it, and it would just stop. Or go on a killing rampage, whatever its default setting is.
Right.
So, but from the RC range, you know, you don't have to necessarily have a line of sight. Now, there is a useful broadcast range that is going to be dependent upon the power supply and the kind of antenna you're using. If you were to, say, fly a remote-controlled helicopter around and it started to get outside of that range, you might quickly have a search and rescue operation on your hands.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking back to some of the other stuff I had that sort of emulated remote control, but not really. I had a car that had a cam system on it, and it came with a series of plastic cams. It was actually a replica of a Porsche 917 race car, and you would stick a cam on top, and it would do whatever the cam had, and the cam would rotate, and so the car would basically, you know, would go forward and then reverse and do whatever. But it would do that according to the shape of the cam. And then, of course, I had the Big Track, which sort of appears to be remote controlled, but you're really programming it before you even press go, and then it does what it does. And,
yeah.
And so, I mean, there are other ways of doing similar things, but it's just not the same.
Yeah, like the old remote control toys that would still have a wire attached to them.
I had one of those, too.
Yeah, where,
I had
a car. You press up or down, and it would make it go forward or backward, but it's all wired. It's not
–
so you're tethered to it. Yeah, the Parrot AR drone.
Yeah.
Which is something I saw at CES a few years ago. It's
been out for a while.
Yeah, it's been out for a while. It's a four-rotor copter.
Yes.
Chopper. And it's a –
Well, it doesn't look like a helicopter because it doesn't have that one – set of blades up at the top.
Yeah, it's got four sets of them, and it looks like a weird hovering drone thing. Mm-hmm. But you can control those through a smartphone device. Usually, I think it's only iOS actually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have an Android based system yet.
I don't know.
But actually maybe they do. I'm looking at their website, and they have a little Android icon on it. Yes, a new Android app. So they do, in fact, have Android now. When I first saw it, it was only for the Apple iPhone. But in this case, it's using Wi-Fi to let you control the device, and you do it through an interface on your smartphone.
Yeah.
And it's similar to what we've been talking about, except that, you know, it's a Wi-Fi frequency, not the same as the old direct radio frequencies.
Right.
So we're seeing lots of kind of experimentation with this older technology. I mean, technology that dates back to the 19th century.
Yep.
And it's really neat to see the kind of toys that are coming out. I was always a big fan of remote control cars. I owned a few. Haven't played with one in a long time because it drives my dogs crazy.
I would have figured you'd play with one specifically because it drives your dogs crazy.
They don't last so long. The toys, not the dogs.
I was gonna
dogs
say.
Will last all day long. But no, they will. Like, I had a, I think it was a remote control Plymouth Prowler. A purple Plymouth Prowler, because that's the only color they came in originally. And the dogs didn't seem to like those classic lines the same way I did. they're not Roadster fans.
On the other hand, I do have a remote-controlled mouse that I use with my cats. And You know, so it sort of works. It's a very low end mouse.
Right.
You plug it in to the
like
remote control.
Squeak mouse, not a point and click mouse.
Right. And it stays charged for maybe about 5 minutes of play. And by play that, I mean, I play with the mouse and the cats stare at it like, what is that thing?
Yeah.
Moving around on the floor. Never mind, I'm going to take a bath now.
What is that thing that looks almost, but not exactly, completely unlike an actual mouse?
Yes, that's pretty much how it works. So we have fun, the humans have fun playing with the remote-controlled mouse.
And the cats sit there.
And the cats sit there.
Which is pretty much the way cats work anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we work for their amusement, and they just sit there and watch. So, yeah, that's the basics behind the whole RC toy thing. It's, you know, like
it's remarkably simple, really.
It is simple, but it's relying on some very basic foundations for the way energy and works and the way the different kinds of energy interact and influence one another. It's neat stuff. If you want to learn more, we actually have an article on howstuffworks.com about how RC toys work, and it has some useful information in there so you can learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of sites, like I said, online that cater to people who are into this in a hobbyist level where they want to learn more about building their own. And there are lots of kits that you can get. There you can also find out about competitions if you want to try and hone your skills as an RC driver and go up against other drivers. And it's neat stuff.
Yeah, if you can find a hobby store near you, they're probably going to know about things like competitions and good places to go. Because, of course, that's something else. You know, we were talking about the FCC regulating radio frequencies here in the United States. You know, it's good to stay aware of the laws in your area. Maybe not necessarily as far as, you know, if you can buy a remote controlled car in your local store, chances are it's probably legal. But you also want to make sure that you are operating these devices in places that are okay. Especially things like planes, because the planes need quite a bit of space, to operate. And there may be areas that are specifically off limits to stuff like that for safety reasons, or you might be near a residential neighborhood. You also want to operate them in a safe place, you know, for obvious reasons. You don't want to hurt somebody or yourself.
Or destroy your brand new RC car.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
when your RC car met up with a real life car.
And that's it from the past. It's back to present day Jonathan. That being 2018. If you guys are listening in the future, this is not as far in the past as the previous in the past, Jonathan. Anyway, if you have any suggestions for future episodes of Tech Stuff, why not visit our website, techstuffpodcast.com. There you're going to find all the different ways you can reach out and get in touch with me and let me know about the kind of stuff you want to hear. You know, whether it's a technology, a company, whatever it may be, as long as it relates to technology, that is, and I'll be glad to look into it. Also, don't forget to visit our merchandise store over at tpublic.com/techstuff. That's where you're going to find t-shirts, you're going to find stickers, you're going to find tote bags, you're going to find cell phone cases, all sorts of stuff with all these different designs. And every purchase you make goes to help the show, so we greatly appreciate it. And I'll talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.